Thank you, young folks, for singing for Jesus. I was sitting there just thinking about the young people singing for the Lord, and I appreciate our young people serving Jesus. Amen. I appreciate you serving the Lord. I'm glad I get to serve Him. It's an honor to serve the Lord, isn't it? It's an honor. So I don't know what that looks like. Well, you're missing out. God saved you to serve Him. And if you're not doing what God saved you for, well, you're just missing out. And I trust that you're serving the Lord with gladness. The Bible says that we ought to do that. Serve the Lord with gladness. So I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, I've met a lot of Christians who, they did and still are. They're doing it their way. Not working out for them. It doesn't work out for you. Only way you'll ever have joy and peace in this life is to serve Jesus if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, well, listen, serving God won't mean anything to you. It just won't. I remember before I got saved, serving God didn't mean a thing to me. And so if serving God doesn't mean anything to you, it may be an indicator that you've never been saved. You say, well, I'm in church. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. But being in church doesn't make you saved. That's right. And I just trust that you are serving God with your life, because that's where real peace and real joy comes from. And I want to say it again to all those young people, those young ladies that were over there. And I'm even going to include Sister Betty. Those young ladies and the young man and the young ladies that sang that last song, thank you for serving Jesus with your life. Thank you. It's an encouragement. And others of the young people in this congregation, thank you for serving Jesus with your life. Now, folks, we have a responsibility, and that is that we would set an example to the next generation. Let's be a good one. All right? You're going to be a witness. Be a good one. You're going to be an example. Be a good one. Be a good example. Well, I want to speak to you this morning. We continue in our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I have alluded to these first verses here in chapter 3 as we were looking at chapters 1 and chapter 2. And as I alluded to it, I spoke to you about how that the Apostle Paul is showing his great love for the believers in Thessalonica. And he had a love for people. And we talked about that some last week. Paul just loved people. I hope you love people. I hope that you do. You know, if you're saved and you will allow God to do it, He will love people through you. He will. You say, well, some people are just not lovable. Yeah, I know. We're just that way, aren't we? But God loves us, and God will love others through us if we will allow Him to. And I pray that the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost would show love unto other people. And so I'm not going to preach this passage of Scripture from that perspective. It's there. There's no way that you can read this letter in its entirety and not see that the Apostle Paul had a genuine love for these people. He loved them. He longed to see them again. And as God would have it in His providence, on His next missionary journey, and you can read this over in about Acts 18, 19, 20, the Apostle Paul did indeed pass back through Thessalonica again. He had told them in chapter 2, if you'll look there, he said in chapter number 2, he said he longed in the latter part of verse 17 of chapter 2, he said, I endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. He said in verse number 18, he said, but you know, Satan hindered me. And then he said, I just couldn't bear it any longer. As Pastor David read in your hearing in verse number 1, he said, when I could no longer forbear, I just had to check on you and see how you were doing. Now, brethren, that's a love right there. That's a love for people. And he loved these people. You know, something happened in my heart when I got saved. God put a love in my heart for the brethren. And when you get saved, God will put a love in your heart for the brethren. But can I say that God has gone beyond that? And God is helping me. God is helping me to love all people. All people. Those who think like me, which is dangerous, and those who don't. Those who maybe cross their T's and dot their I's the way I do, and those who don't. And God is just helping me. And I know He's helping you too, if you will allow Him to. This morning I want to take this passage of Scripture because there's another perspective that the Apostle Paul mentions here that I think would do us very, very good that we would look into it. And that is the perspective of when you get saved, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some hardships. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Now, I qualify that when you get saved. But can I tell you, whether you're saved or not, there are no passages through this life that are trouble-free. I'm going to say that again. Everybody has trouble. Everyone has trouble. Now, when you get saved, I believe your troubles are a little different for a variety of ways. We'll look at some of them this morning. But it's different in that we have someone that bears up our trouble for us and with us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. We have someone that helps make sense of it all. You know, as a Christian, we have this great perspective that God gives us from His Word on why we have trouble. And I just want to take some of these verses and pull out a few words I hope will help you. Now, some of you are going through some really difficult times. Some things I know about, some things I don't. It's not important that I know about them. I'm glad that I can bear your burden with you. I can pray with you as your pastor. I can love you and help you. And I'm just glad that as Christians, we can go through troubles together. I'm glad for that. Most of the troubles that people go through, we know very little about. You know, we're private people. But can I tell you something? Jesus knows all about them. Jesus knows all about your trouble. The Apostle Paul here wrote some things that I hope you'll write down. Some very good truths about trouble and hardships and sorrows and afflictions and trials. And I want to point them out to you. The first thing that I want to mention to you is several years ago, there was a man that God had brought to the church. He was an elderly gentleman when I was pastoring in South Carolina. And he brought this elderly gentleman and his wife to the church. And this elderly gentleman taught me a lot of things about the Christian life. He taught me a lot of things about, well, just about how to yield to God and how to approach the Christian life and how to depend upon God. And I remember one day we were having a conversation and he made this statement to me and I've never forgotten it, and it just really, it helped me so much when it comes to this thing called trials. Our oldest son, Michael, when he was born with some heart situations. And he had some heart defects. Actually, he had four. And he had to have some open heart procedures and some heart procedures in his, even before he was one and then again at two. And, I mean, it really tested Sharon and I. And we needed God to help us through that time. It was difficult for us. We were young. We were young parents. We had Meredith. And then Michael came along. And we were just taken back by it. And I remember having a conversation with this gentleman about Michael's situation. And here's what he told me. It wasn't what I expected to hear from him. He told me this. He said, "Pastor, and I ask you to remember something." He said, "When you're going through trials, you can either be a victim or a student. Please choose to be a student." You know, as a young man, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted him to pat me on the back and tell me everything was going to be okay and that God loved me and that He would pray for me. But that's some of the greatest advice I've ever received. Because since that time, even before that time, but certainly since that time, I've gone through a lot in my life. But you know what? You have too. As I mentioned earlier, there are no free rides through life. There is no trouble-free path through this life and this thing called life. We all have troubles. We all have trials. We all have hardships. It's just a part of life. Jesus said, listen, He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." Didn't He say that? Job said, "A man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Is that what He said, brethren? You know what it is to have trouble. We all have trouble. And if we're not careful, what we will do is we will just focus on our trouble. What God wants us to do is focus on the response to the trouble. A lot of the troubles in life, I don't have any control over. And I said a lot. I didn't say all. Sometimes I'm my own trouble. How many of you can say amen with me right there? I'm my own trouble. I'm a problem. I am the problem. I'm not just part of it. I am the problem. And sometimes I bring it on myself. I'm kind of, well, dumb that way sometimes. I know better, but I just do stuff that, well, I'm like Paul in chapter 7. We'll talk about of Romans, and we'll talk about that more tonight. But you know what? In trials and afflictions, in hardships, in sorrow, I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to always be, you know what, they done me wrong. And always be talking about how people done me wrong. You ever been around people like that? I mean, all they do is talk about, they done me wrong, this one done me wrong, that one done me wrong, my family done me wrong, my preacher done me wrong, my church, that church done me wrong. Always kind of deflecting what's happening to me and blaming it on other people. Can I tell you what that'll do? Now listen to me. I want to help you. It'll make you one of the most selfish people that there is. Because all you see is your problem and you're trying to blame someone else instead of learning, instead of being a student and learning what God wants to teach you. The Bible says we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Trials. But how am I going to do that? How am I going to find joy in sorrow? How am I going to find the good in the bad? Well, if I'm playing the victim, I'm not. But if I'm acting like the student who doesn't want to just blame others, but I want to learn why I'm going through what I'm going through, why does God have me here? What is God wanting to teach me? Can I tell you that adversity has taught me more in life than prosperity? The hard times in life have molded me. I'm not much. I don't claim to be much. But I just want to give glory to God and praise to God that I am what I am by the grace of God, and I am learning. Too late, but thank God I'm learning it. That I can find joy in trials. I can find, it's not just a verse to memorize. It's not just a passage to read. It is a truth to experience. When I place myself in the category of a student instead of the category of a victim. The devil wants you to feel victimized when you go through a hardship and ask you and wants you to be asking why. God wants you to be a student and ask the question, what? What can I learn? What does God have for me in this? And that's what the Apostle Paul's doing here. You know, I brought it up, and I'm not going to go back, but if you just quickly turn back to chapter number 1, verse number 6, Paul said that these people were in much affliction. I mean, I've read you how in chapter 1, verse 6, you see that? In much affliction. I've read you how this church got started as you turn back to chapter 3 in Acts 17. You know, listen, they were some baser fellas. I mean, they were lewd and they were the baser sort. And they kind of come in and ransacked the house of Jason and brought him out. And they went after Paul and Timothy and Silas and these believers here in Thessalonica. I mean, brethren, they had some hardships. They had some hard times. And Paul was very concerned, are they going to get through this hardship? Insomuch that he sent Timothy to check on them. Who do you need to check on? Or who needs to check on you? Because I guarantee you, as each one of us are here in this building today, both of those would apply, at least one of them, if not both. Either I need to be checking on someone that I can see is really struggling, or I need someone to check on me because I'm really struggling. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Let's look at it together. The first thing I want to, listen, this is going to be about as a simple message as you ever hear. I like them that way. I just want to make this very simple to you. I think you're going to say, you know what, I know that. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, you know, it's not about what you know. I want you to raise your hand with me. How many of you know that you ought to die daily because the Bible says die daily? Raise your hand. Say, I know that. Keep it up. Raise it high. Like, you know, okay, you can put it down. Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you died already today? How many of you got up and said, Lord, I die to myself. I don't want what you want. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. You see, it's not enough just to know that you're supposed to die daily. When are you going to die? After church? After the worship service over? Then you're going to die? I got to preach something to get you to die? You see? And so what I'm going to preach to you this morning, you already know. But it's not a question, do you know it? It's a question, are you reacting? Are you responding? Are you allowing God's truth to be applied to your heart? Let's look at it together. Just want to give you some truth. Number one, trials are unsettling. They're unsettling. Look at what he says in verse number 1 through 3, the first part of verse number 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, why, Paul? He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. You see that word moved? It's a very interesting word. It actually means to wag, like the tail of a dog. It means to be moved. It means to tremble. It means great concern. You know, it's the kind of thing that'll keep you up at night, and it'll keep your mind fixed on it all through the day. I mean, it's just on you. And Paul said here, he said, I want you to know that trials can be unsettling. He said, I want you to know that trials is something that we all go through. They shake us. They disturb us. And sometimes they can absolutely consume us. All we can do is think about what we're going through. And as I mentioned earlier, if we're not careful, we'll be thinking about what the trial is instead of what God wants us to learn from it and how to respond to it. And I just want to help you to understand that when it comes to this thing of trials, that we could start here with Sister Virginia and go all the way around every person and end right over here with Brother Steve. Help me out. Scott! Brother Brandon, I was up here laughing at you earlier because you forgot what verse we was on. See? You reap what you sow. All the way around here to Brother Scott Jones. See, now it's coming to me, brother. My mind's that way. All the way over here, and every one of us are going through something. Every one of us. I ask you to stand, tell us what you're going through. Tell us what you're going through. And it wouldn't be just one thing. We're struggling. And I'm going to tell you something. Trials will unnerve you. They will move you. They will unsettle you. Isn't that what he said? Look at what he said in verse number 3, the first part of verse number 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Trials can move us. They can unsettle us. Trials can get us out of sorts. Can just get us in a place in life where God doesn't want us. Yes, we're going to be concerned. Yes, we're going to realize, hey, some things need to be done. But don't let it consume you. Don't let it pull you. Don't let it move you, is what he's saying. Again, one more time, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. He said, I was concerned. He said, I just couldn't take it anymore. I wanted to know how these trials, how these afflictions were, how they were moving and how they were dictating some things that were going on in your life. How do trials move you? Do they consume you? Do they cause you to have an improper view of God, of self, of others? Well, they shouldn't. And so I just want to encourage you. Number one, the scripture says that our trials are unsettling. And so when you begin to get that thought, I'm going to encourage you to pray, to get with God, to get with God's people, and really, really begin to ask, God, what do you have for me? God has something for you in this trial. So what good could come out of this? Well, I don't know. What good could come out of God's Son coming to this world and being treated the way he was treated and crucified on an old rugged cross? plenty. Amen? Yeah. And so, trials are unsettling. Number two, trials are appointed. Look, if you would, the latter part of verse number 3. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. I told you it's just simple. It's right here. Paul said, I told you now. Trials is something that God ordains. You may be having that trial because God has ordained it in your life. God has appointed you to have that trial. Someone has said that there are no accidents in the life of a Christian, but only incidents. And I agree wholeheartedly. There's no such thing as accidents, chance, luck, fate. Brethren, that's not part of the Christian life. That's not even part of life. But God knows it ought not be the way we approach life. I wrote this down. There are some things that we need to remember when it comes to trials. There are no accidents. Incidents, yes. Troubles, yes. Difficulties, yes. Hard times, yes. Sorrow, yes. Accidents, no. And so you are where you are. And God knows where you are. And you may be going through one of the darkest trials of your life. You may feel like there's no way out. But God knows where you are. Amen?
Amen.
God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. Let Him work. Let God work in your life. Don't close Him out. Don't close Him out. When the man of God reaches out, when the Paul reaches out and says, hey, let me help you. Let someone help you. You don't have to go. God never intended you to go through that alone. And I'll show you that from the scripture here in just a moment. I read this by someone and I really liked it. It said, let's take a look at trials. Number one, they're either caused by God. Number two, they're either allowed by God. And number three, whoops, there is no number three. They're either caused by God or they're allowed by God. There is no number three. Amen. Either way, God knows about the trials that you're going through. And He either has ordained it or, as the scripture says here in verse number 3, look at it again, we are appointed to go through trials.
Amen.
Which leads us to our third thought. And so I said that trials are unsettling, and they are. But they should never, ever get us to a place to where we begin to question God's love and God's goodness or the goodness of others or people. Listen, people love you. And if we play the victim, we're going to be blaming others and we'll not help others and we'll not make ourselves available for others to help. Do not go through life that way. It says, second of all, that trials are appointed. If you're going through something right now, either God caused it. You say, well, God didn't cause what I'm going through. Well, then He allowed it. Amen. You say, I have a third reason. Get with me after the service because I couldn't find one. The third thing that I want us to see in this scripture is that trials are necessary. Trials are necessary. Look at verse number 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. He said, I told you. You're going to have some tough spots. There's going to be some bumps in the road. I told you we was going to have some tribulation. Remember when I was with you? Remember when you accepted Christ and when you accepted the faith and you got saved? I told you. This doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. Now, I'm ad-libbing a little bit and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is what Paul was teaching those young believers. He said, when I was with you, I told you. There are no trouble-free rides to heaven. You don't get saved and then everything just kind of, all the troubles go away and all the hardships and all the sorrows. Sometimes it invites them. Amen. And so, you know, if we just get this mindset right and we just get it down and realize, hey,
Jesus said, in this world, I'm going to have some trouble. In this world, I'm going to have some afflictions. I'm going to suffer some persecution. If I intend to live godly in Christ Jesus, I'm going to have to suffer some persecution. Amen. I don't know which is first, that I'm suffering persecution because I'm living godly, or because I'm suffering persecution, it'll cause me to live godly. Amen. But God knows. Amen. Hardships have drawn me closer to God. How many of you can testify to that? It's in the valleys of life. It's in the hard places of life that I sought God, that I turned to Him, that it drew me closer and helped me to realize, God, I can't do this on my own. I'm weak. I don't have what it takes. Amen. This thing's bigger than me, God. I can't do it. I need your help. Sometimes trials are just, listen, they're just necessary to get me where God wants me in life. Let me give you a few verses of Scripture. I want you to turn to these. Turn over, if you would, first of all, to Romans chapter 5. Would you turn there? Romans chapter 5. And we'll come back, and I've got two quick thoughts, and we'll close today. But I do want you to understand what's happening here, okay? The Apostle Paul was writing these young believers in Thessalonica, and he's saying, listen, you're going to have some trouble. You've been through some affliction. And brethren, I'm here to tell you that as Christians, many of you, most of you, maybe all of you know, we're going to have trouble. We just need to really ask God to help us to respond to the trouble properly. God, help me not to get sideways in the time of trial. And I'll get to that in a moment. Are you in Romans 5? Look, if you would, in verse number 2. It says, by whom, meaning Jesus, we've been justified by faith. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, I'm in Christ and I'm going to rejoice in hope in the glory of God, but I'm not through, Paul said. He said in verse number 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Hard times. We glory in hope. We lack this thing, hope. But you can't glory in hope if you haven't learned how to glory in tribulations. Because tribulation is going to help you. Hardships, the trials of life are going to help you to understand the program of God and the person of God. And so he says that we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You're going to need some patience if you're going to get through your trial. Going to need some patience if you're going to get through this thing called life. Going to need some patience as a Christian if you're going to help people, if you're going to love people, if you're going to make an impact and a difference in people's lives. You're going to need some patience. Amen. And he said, not only the tribulation work patience, he said in verse number 4, but patience experience. Well, I tell you, when you go through some hard places in your life and you're going along through life and you've been through something and here somebody comes and they're going through that, and God will remind you, yeah, that's where you were. Remember when I helped you there? Now you go help that person. Amen. Aren't you glad for the experience that we get through the tribulations? Yeah, it makes us better people, brethren. It just does. Can I tell you that hardships build character? It shows us where we are in life and how much we need God. It teaches us dependence and trust. He goes on to say in verse number 4 that patience that works experience and experience hope. So he come full circle from verse number 2, that last part of verse number 2, he said, we rejoice in the hope. He said, but now it just doesn't jump from getting saved by faith and having peace with God and having that hope. There's a process. And part of that process, it begins with tribulations. The hardships in life teach us to trust and to depend upon God. I don't know what you're going through. I just know that God knows. God knows where you are. And we ought to love each other and help each other and pray for one another, because God has intended it to be that way. And he said in verse number 5 that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now turn if you would to one more scripture, and then we'll go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is, what are we talking about? We're talking about trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, trials. Number one, we said that trials, they're unsettling. And they are, brethren. They're unsettling. But we don't want to get moved off course. Though they move us, we don't want it to move us off our course. We don't want it to cause us to be bitter and cantankerous and always blaming people. It's them, it's this, it's that. You know, instead of blaming others, won't you examine yourself? Instead of me blaming others, why don't I examine myself? And why don't I look at God and say, God, what do you want to teach me through this time? What do you want to teach me? How do you want to strengthen my faith? Can I tell you, adversity will strengthen your faith far more than prosperity will. It will. Are you in 1 Peter chapter 1? This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Peter is writing, and he says here, in talking about our inheritance in verse number 4, and talking about how we're kept by the power of God through faith and salvation in verse number 5, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, and look at this next phrase, if need be. You see that? See, God knows what you need. God knows what I need. And he said, though you're rejoicing, though you're saved, he said, there may be a season, if need be. Look what he said in verse number 6. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. God's going to try your faith. God's going to send some trials in my life. Why? If need be. To strengthen. To teach. To construct. To build. God knows what's best for me. Would I choose a trial? Probably never. I'm just being transparent with you. You know, if I had a choice between a trial or not, I'd probably go the not every time. Amen. How about you? But see, God knows what needs to be. I don't know what needs to be. Amen. And so God says, you know what, Dale Freeman? To make you a better you, to make you more like me, to continue this conforming process in your life, it needs to be this way. And so instead of me saying, well, it's Brother Olson's fault. It's the church's fault. What if they wouldn't have done this and I wouldn't have to go through this? I don't like being a pastor. Too many trials. Too many hardships. Too many burdens. Don't look at the trial. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to strengthen in my life? What are you trying to shore up, Lord? Are you trying to teach me to be less selfish? More dependent? God, are you trying to teach me to love all people and not just those that I pick and choose? Are you trying to teach me that I'm not the only one that goes through hardships? That I can look around and there's always someone that's going through something just like I am, or maybe even worse? God, what are you trying to teach me? You see what's happening here? Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians now and we'll bring this to a close. So Paul's writing to these folks and he's saying, listen, the first thing I want you to realize, he said in verse number 3, he said, I want you to know that if you're not careful now, he said, you'll get moved, and he said, you'll get moved off your spot. And you'll find yourself less spiritual than what you are. And you'll find your faith waning when it should be being built. And you should be winning. And so we said, don't question why. Question what. What are you wanting to teach me? Don't be a victim. Be a student. Then the second thing. Trials are appointed. Remember now, God appointed. Look at 3b again. He said, we are appointed thereunto. Can't get any clearer than that, brethren. And then he said, they're necessary. Verse number 4, he said, I told you when you're going to suffer tribulation. I told you when we were there. He said, you know, you remember me telling you, you're not going to go through life without some troubles. Amen. And then he said in verse number 5, he said, trials can be dangerous. If I haven't had your attention, and I believe I have, and I appreciate that, but you're not giving it just to me, you're giving it to God's Word. I'm preaching the Bible to you this morning. Amen. The Bible's always right. I'm not always right. You're not always right. And sometimes life doesn't always seem right. But God is always right. God is always right. And he said, I want to remind you that trials can be a very dangerous thing. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, please listen to this. When the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. You know, John taught his disciples to pray. Would you teach us to pray? And you know what Jesus said. He said, you know, after this manner pray ye therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Now watch it. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, I believe that evil could be on the outside, but I believe that evil can be on the inside. I do. Well, I tell you, there's a darkness in us. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I know. But I also know about our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked. And we're capable of some not so good things. And I need God sometimes just to deliver me from me. I mean, listen, I've been there. I need God to deliver me from the devil. Don't misunderstand me now. I need that. But there's just times I just need God to deliver me from me. You deliver me from the evil me. God help me. Now, it's dangerous sometimes when I get to thinking some things I don't need to be thinking. And when I get in a way I don't need to be. And you say, oh, now, preacher, you ought not say that. I don't know why. You're that way too. Look at what Paul says here, if you would, in verse number 5. He said, for this cause, when I could no longer, are you there? 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, please don't miss this. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter, having tempted you, and our labor be in vain. He said, boy, I tell you, it could have got dangerous for you. Here you were, new in the faith. The church just started. You've just started out on this journey, and you're thinking it's going to be one way, and then all of a sudden, hey, it turns, and it's a completely different way than what you had in mind it was going to be. And I think we've all been there, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in the infancy of our faith. Amen. It can be right here where we are today and the place where we are spiritually. We can have things sized up, and we can think we know the way things are going to go, and they cannot go the way we think we're going to go. And in that trial that God is trying to get my attention, trying to draw me closer to him, trying to build my faith and strengthen my faith and teach me to depend on him, to trust his character, to trust his power, to trust his person, to trust his provision, to know that God is there, to know that God's not going to let me down. Instead of me doing that, I'll look at that trial and it'll begin to make me angry, and that anger can turn into disappointment, maybe resentment, and I'll get discouraged, or maybe even worse than that, I'll get angry and I'll say why instead of what, and I'll begin to get lash out at people and resent the situation, and it can become dangerous in my spiritual life. How about you? It can pull you away from God. And all the while, you'll be thinking something like, well, you know what? It's them. It's them. I'm tired of Christians. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. Are you tired of you? Are you tired of the way you do it? Are you tired of doubting? You see what I'm saying? Are you tired of the things you're doing? The doubts? Or are you tired of the twisting? Or are you tired of your actions and the way you respond incorrectly and the way you blame and point a finger and always putting down people instead of examining yourself and saying, God, it's not them. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's me, oh Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. God, do something in my life through this trial. Turn this trial into a blessing and make me stronger in my faith. Make me stronger in my walk. Make me a stronger Christian. God, draw me near to you. Make me more like Jesus. Help me to be understanding. Help me to be trusting. Help me to be loving. God, don't let me get sideways in this trial. How many Christians has your pastor seen in these 40 years of ministry that have quit God, quit church, quit Christianity because of a trial in their life? All that God meant to draw them closer to him, the devil used it to cause them to drift. Please don't let that happen to you. I beg you. Oh, preacher, it won't happen to me. I can't tell you the people in these 40 years of ministry that almost those exact words have came out of their mouth. Won't happen to me. I'm better than that. You know what? We're talking about trials being dangerous. I'm going to close right here. I've got one more point, but God wants me to say this. You know, I think Peter said that. I do. He said, you know, Peter, Jesus said, Peter, you're going to go through a trial. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. By the way, that is how you overcome trials, and that's for another message. That was my fifth point, but we'll get to that another time. You can overcome trials through faith. You can. But it can't be faith in what you can do. It has to be faith in what God can do. Amen. Amen. You read 6, 7, and 8 there, and you'll see exactly what happened. But now what happened to old Peter? Would you write these things down? Number one, Peter done what a lot of people do when trials come. Write it down now. Peter got presumptuous. They might. I would never do that. See how presumptuous we can get? Now, I've known some Christians do that. Preachers always talk about how people get out and get away, but now that never happened to me. Now, others may do it, but that'll never happen to me. Well, Peter said that. It happened to him. Number two, pride. Peter got proud, didn't he? Pride can get in the way during a trial. And we can think, I've got this. I can't tell you how many times that I've had that thought. What a carnal, wicked, sinful thought. I've got this. And that's essentially what Jesus was telling, or Peter rather was telling Jesus. He said, you know, Peter, he said, I prayed for you. Don't sweat it. Savior, I've got this. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I've got this. And then number three, prayerlessness. Presumption, pride, prayerlessness. Jesus said, now I want y'all to pray here in the garden. I'm going to go over here. And he went and knelt and prayed, agonized. Come back, and they were sleeping. You know the story, right? Peter got sideways, didn't he? He did. He did. Because trials can be dangerous. They can be dangerous for me, too. For you, too. Well, preacher, what are we to do? Well, the man who wrote this, you can stand to your feet. The man who wrote this, Paul, well, Paul, he didn't treat it like Peter did. Remember when God gave him the thorn? Let's see. What did Paul do? Well, Peter got presumptuous. Paul, he didn't say, I'm strong and I think I can do this. Though all the others, he said, no, he said, I'm weak. I can't do this. He wasn't full of pride. He said, I will glory not, except for in my infirmities. Right, brethren? He handled it exactly different than Peter did. Paul didn't sleep. He prayed three times. And then he accepted when God told him, nah, I'm not going to remove it. He didn't get mad and go fishing like so many do. Please, I'm telling you, trials can be dangerous. Or they can usher in a new height in our Christian experience. It just really depends on how we're going to respond to them. Peter didn't respond very favorably. Now, I'm glad God's a God of grace and mercy. But can I tell you, not all experiences end like Peter's did. I know so many that didn't. Thankfully, Peter turned back, had that meal with Jesus, and Jesus recommissioned him to his service. I wish I could say that were true of all that I've dealt with. You know others that have not to this day. But Paul did, didn't he? Made him a stronger Christian. And he realized, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because in my weakness, I see the power of Christ. How about about you? When you're going through a trial, when you feel like I can't go another step, I cannot. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right, I don't. I don't. And you don't know what I'm going through. But God knows what we're all going through.
Amen.
Now, He does. And God knows my heart. I care about you. I do. And God, when I was preparing this message, God reminded me, everyone is going through something. Everyone. We need to be mindful. We need to be careful. We need to be helpful. Let's bow our heads together. You going through a trial this morning? You say, preacher, I'm not going through a trial. Well, that doesn't mean the message was not for you. Because you are going to go through a trial.